it's time for Measure Twice.
Hello, welcome back to Measure Twice. Welcome to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors and Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential, and you're listening to us on Machinist News Talk 95.3 MNC. We are brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with the showroom now open in Granger right next to C. Kramer Interiors. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. I was traveling and I lost the cover of my phone.
You're going that fast.
Yeah, that's how fast. I'm like the Flash. But it's like, how do you lose the cover of your phone? Like, without losing your phone?
Well, that is a good question.
That's bizarre.
I was on an airport transit. And I took the cover off because I was just messing around, and it hit the deck. The bus stopped, and it slid all the way up front to where the bus driver is, and then disappeared to a different universe. So now I feel like, oh my goodness, it's
you got to be.
I'm gonna break it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna break it. It's a fact.
You didn't lose the phone.
You're right. It could have easily been the phone that slipped out and then went down there. And then where would we be?
You'd be in peace. A new phone.
There'd be no readings.
I would find peacefulness. No calls.
Yeah.
We wish for that, right? But like, you know.
Oh, it's awful when you do that, though. You lose your phone.
It is awful.
Oh, yeah. Been there, done that.
Well, it's like losing a boatload of money because they're not free.
Yeah.
I hadn't. You have insurance?
Yeah, you got to get the insurance.
But don't have a black phone in a black cab.
Yeah, it's invisible.
Sit it on the seat.
It's invisible.
It's invisible.
Right.
Disappeared.
It's just gone.
Left it there, didn't even realize it.
Navy SEALs study that camouflage.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. And in the business that you're in, your phone is like...
your lifeline.
It's your office, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Joel, you're out on the road a lot, right?
Oh, yeah.
And not just clients are contacting you on the phone, right? You probably have vendors and...
subcontractors. Oh, yeah.
You can't keep it all in your head, you know?
Then no.
It doesn't work that way.
No.
Well, our subject today, not necessarily talking about phones, but I wanted to just explore, and we've talked about this a little before a few years ago. But it's time to revisit. We've talked about quality before and what that means. Came up to me because I didn't realize there were different levels of quality of countertop. In like, I thought granite was granite.
Oh, well, kinda. But there's different price levels of granite.
Yes, that's what I mean. So it's like, well, wait a minute. And it got me on a tangent, and I'm like, who better to tell me than you guys? Because it doesn't just stop at countertops, but it's a good place to start and talk about that. But I guess I'm going to ask you like a very ethereal question. We'll start with Joel. What, when somebody says quality to you, what is the, what fires in your mind? Somebody says quality.
Something that's going to last.
So you look at longevity.
Oh, yeah.
So quality equals longevity.
Yeah.
Right? Chris, what fires in your mind when you hear the word quality?
Same thing, longevity.
Okay.
I mean, there's quality of product, there's quality of work.
But you think longevity.
Longevity.
Quality means? Mm-hmm.
Quality means longevity. You're getting a product that you anticipate to last as long as you want it.
Right. So, and I don't think there's no real wrong answer there, right? I was thinking quality is longevity would be built into it. But when I think quality, I think operates at a high level, like works really well to me.
I can see where I can see that as part of it. But then I think, okay. Tile. There's a different quality level of tile. They all work the same.
So it's a dead heat in how they operate.
Right.
It's how long they're going to operate well. All right, I can see that.
And just because something is perceived as a quality, it may not be as, what I want to say, it might require a little bit more care and a little bit more attention in order for it to achieve its longevity.
You agree with that, Joel?
Yeah. With certain things.
I'm thinking like, I'll use tile as an example. You can get ceramic that will last, no maintenance, essentially. But at marble or a stone tile is going to be far more expensive, but it requires maintenance.
But isn't marble like just expensive because it's rare?
It's not rare necessarily, but it's just a more expensive product because it's not manufactured, it's quarried.
Right.
So there's a lot of labor built into manufacturing tile.
Right.
And it also costs more to install it because it has to be installed properly. Otherwise, it'll crack. Or, again, there goes your longevity.
Right.
If it's not installed. So when you think quality, there's quality of product and there's quality of
workmanship.
Yeah.
Because without one, the other doesn't function.
Right. And I could totally, Joel, like something lasting in your field, that means you did quality work.
Right.
If your remodel's not falling apart around you and it's something that it becomes part of your home that doesn't go away, right? Like it works.
Well, and I'm thinking of what Joel does is the bones that he's putting in needs to be quality for the rest of it to have longevity.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead.
If he's framing, you want a good solid structure.
We've talked about that. Framing, we take frame, not to get on a tangent, but you could take framing for granted.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's not done right.
Because to the average person, we kind of assume that it's being done right because we don't really know what to look for in a good frame.
Because the concept is simple.
Right.
The concept is simple.
Right.
But doing it right is not simple. It may look simple if you're watching an expert do it. It may look easy because they make it look easy. It's not easy.
Right.
It's simple. There's boards that frame. Simple concept. Hard to, get the experience you need to get it right. What happens, though? I love talking about this, though. When the frame isn't right, what happens?
Well, I can speak to that from my experience this week. Because we're doing a kitchen and a condo that was obviously just slapped together. And structurally, it's not going to go anywhere, but trying to actually remodel the kitchen is taking an absurd amount of time because we have to deal with things being so far from plumb and level and just the things that are not right that have to be made right before you can actually put everything else together.
Those are prefab.
Yeah.
And you
know what you're talking about.
Wouldn't you think that prefab, there'd be some sort of system that guarantees some sort of perfection or whatever?
Other way around.
And it's the other way around. It's the exact opposite. But intuitively, you would think, oh, well, if it's prefab, it must be, there's a system that gets it right. It's like, that's not the case. Prefab means it was done quickly.
Yes.
And easily.
And easily.
And in their minds, efficiently.
The most cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap.
Yeah.
That's really what you're saying. And it's scary.
It is.
Yeah. And if you look at, I'm not going to knock prefab homes, but when you get the highest quality prefab home, you're getting to the same price as a built home, like for a reason.
Yeah.
Because it's really built like a,
right,
like that, but reinforced to travel with. And really, it shows up in the worst places. The lack of quality shows up in the worst place.
Yeah.
You know, like where you need it. You know, like your garage door never goes up straight. Like things like that. Like my doors are always swing open.
I always see the bowed walls.
You guys mention bowed walls all the time, but
it blows my mind.
I just don't look for them. I know they're there, but you guys are like trained to look.
It's not even that you're trained to look at it. It's so obvious you can't miss it. That's how extreme.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And then
you're walking downstairs and you see this wall, this bow, and you're just like,
what causes the bowed wall?
Prefab. honestly.
Yeah, there's not a...
Is it weight or is it just the studs are bent or what?
It's poorly put together.
Because mm-hmm. if your stud's sticking out a quarter of an inch at the bottom of a frame...
Oh, that's a huge amount.
It is, right?
Yeah.
It'll make it look like a pyramid because...
Doesn't sound like much, but it's huge.
Yeah. And these are like some details that where quality shows up. Like quality shows up in those details. And it's like anything else. If you're off a quarter of an inch here, you're off 5 inches somewhere else because it just compounds. Like that's,
yeah.
That's, and if you're in a situation where you're surrounded by lack of quality, it compounds a lot of problems.
Yes, it does.
But so now we've pounded the quality. We've ascertained our definition of quality. When we come back, let's dive into some specific things and talk about the quality of, let's say, countertops. When we come back, this is Measure Twice. Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling and Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential, and you're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk 95.3 MNC. We're brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with the showroom now open in Granger right next to C. Kramer Interiors. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. So you can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. We're talking about quality, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got plenty of it. This is some high quality talking.
Indeed.
Right. But we talked about quality. What we determined is longevity has a lot to do with it, which leads to workmanship, quality of products. But you can get the old switcheroo where you think where something is high quality, but that doesn't mean it doesn't need maintenance. Right? Lack of maintenance is not an indication of quality. It can be, you know, like we use the example of marble.
Yeah.
It's high quality, needs maintenance, right?
If you want to keep it looking good.
New. I would think like cedar siding would be something that, right, is super high quality.
Yeah, it's extremely right. High quality.
Right. But you
it
still
holds
need
up.
To, you still need to do stuff to it, right?
It doesn't take a ton of maintenance.
It doesn't really need it, but if you want it to continue to look red.
Yeah, if you want it, if you don't like the
gray
silvering.
Yeah, silvering, yeah.
Yeah.
Then you have to stain it and keep it stained.
Right. But generally there's different levels of quality within cedar siding.
Yes, there absolutely is. Yeah.
So, as an example, if you're looking at, and there's just, in our neck of the woods, there isn't a tremendous amount of cedar siding. It's usually an accent, right? I mean.
That or like, you'll run into like track housing that in certain subdivisions that are all cedar siding, stuff like that.
Wasn't more of a thing back in like the 70s. You'd
70s,
see
80s,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now where
not
I grew up,
so much.
Cedar siding is alive and well.
Well, because that's because it's so impervious
to
the
elements. Right. Yeah. And it's really nothing. Nothing beats it, you know. It's also easy to repair. That's what somebody told me. Like, if one blows off, it's you know, it's not that hard to like get
wood,
in.
Yeah, you can.
Woodpeckers love it.
That's true.
Yeah, I remember we had basically a whole show on woodpeckers loving cedar. But on a side note, for that, when I went to see back home to see my dad, I saw I never saw this before, but clearly someone was aging cedar just in case there was a storm. I had to be because it was a beautiful house. And when I was driving around the back of it and on the back of their shed, he just had like a piece, like a board that was the size of his shed, leaned up against his shed in the sun with just cedar siding on it. And I was like, I bet they're waiting for the hurricane, right? So that if stuff blows off, it doesn't look like, oh, there's the patch.
Right.
For time for it to weather like the rest of it. Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, what a smart, because you can see the patches. Like when you drive through the neighborhood, it's like, man, that's a new piece of cedar. You know, you can't miss it, but I don't know. There's no way to age it, right?
I don't know. I've never tried to age it.
this guy's clearly doing that.
Because we don't really get a call to use it.
Yeah.
Much.
Back home, I mean, you it'll sometimes like blow off a house because you get a nor'easter. But at any rate, so for cedar, the different quality I would think would be how thick it is, right?
Thickness is big difference in that.
That's pretty much the determining factor.
Yeah, for the most part.
So let me ask you this then. So everybody's gone, me and the listeners, we've all gone to like a lumber store or like a box store to pick up some wood. And was always the old timer like eyeing up boards.
Nah.
Right. Yeah, I'm like, and honestly, I was like, a board's a board in my mind, but I have a feeling.
I think the same thing.
I have a feeling Joel's going to be like, I don't know, man. Because I picture you as a future iron board.
I already knew that.
I was going to say, what are you looking for? When you're eyeing up the board, what the heck are you looking for?
I'm looking for twists. Typically, that's the biggest thing that I have to deal with. So if your board is twisted from end to end a little bit, that can be difficult to work with. A large warp or most boards are going to be crowned a little bit. That's where it's just a slight bow to one side or the other along the narrower side. Which that's not that big of a deal. And the way you deal with that is you turn all your crowns the same direction. And so in these prefabs, they don't do that. And that's why you see a lot of
warpage,
bowed areas and walls and stuff like that. Cause they don't think about they're just slapping it to get stuff together.
So you turn it all the same direction and that.
Yeah.
That fixes,
it takes your eye off of it. I mean, there are times where we'll repair a bow or a crown.
Right.
But for the most part, that's what I try to stay away from twisted boards because they're a pain in the butt to deal with.
Right. Well, let's say now you're doing trim work. What are you looking for there then? Because the same guy's eyeing that up. are you looking for the same thing?
In trim, I'm more worried about the crown. Like if it's a long piece of trim, if it has a crown to it, because once you get to the middle, trying to push that down and a nightmare.
Because it'll pull out of the wall or it just can't get rid of it.
Yes.
Both, right.
I mean, it depends. Like,
do knots matter?
Oh, I was going to ask him that question. I was waiting for it.
You beat me to it.
Knots, if they're treated appropriately, aren't that big of a deal, but they will bleed through if you don't treat them appropriately.
But what if it's a 2x4 framing?
Yeah, that's 2x4 is no big deal, no.
So it doesn't bother the integrity of the board with the knots. I know they're.
I know if it's in trim. That can be a problem. Can't paint. They bleed through, but
you have to seal them with something.
Yeah, they have to be sealed.
It's best to just try not to have them.
But yeah,
most
trim doesn't have.
But most trim is poplar, isn't it?
Most trim is, yeah.
So you don't have
poplar, and it just depends on what you're doing. Stained,
whatever. That would be like maybe oak or whatever. Pine is the one that would be the most.
Yeah,
have the most knots.
I mean, that's so. If you're at a box store, it's mostly pine. There's a little bit of poplar.
So you can run into knots. If you see knots on trim, just you're not going to be really painting over that. I mean, you can, but you got to treat
it. It's difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's a certain look where people...
Knotty pine, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are looking
That's
for
like
that.
That's like a clear finish, natural finish.
There was I watch YouTube, me and 100 billion other people, but I was watching a guy make knotty pine planks, and he makes all kinds of stuff, but he has the saw that when you go over the board, it like makes it uniform, like an inch or whatever, and he like makes the plank.
Planer?
You can see him, what?
Is he using a planer?
I guess when he goes over the log... Or the tree.
Oh,
it makes like a giant plank that's the same width.
He's got a mill.
a mill, but it's like by, he's doing it by hand because he's out in the middle of nowhere doing this thing. But he makes like the live edge. So he takes all the live edges and then he just uses the each tree for what it can give him.
Right.
Which is pretty neat.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he's out there. But it's a, you know, it's interesting because he's kind of a craftsman and then he loads it up and makes stuff. But he had knotty pine and he was talking about leaving a little bit of the branch to see if he could create something new. That was like one of his last episode was like, I'm going to see if I can make something and leave, like make it three-dimensional. We'll see what he does.
That'll be interesting.
Pretty interesting. I thought it was pretty neat. Yeah. Like he's just being creative, trying to make things. But that knotty pine thing, you're not painting that. You're just urethaning it. Or is it urethane? I'm not sure what you put on it. But
there's different types of finishes. Yeah.
But quality, right? Now we're talking about the wood, right? The poplar. They use poplar for a reason, probably because there's not a lot of knots in it.
It takes paint really well.
Mm.
Right. And that it's a high quality piece of trim for that reason.
Right? And drawers.
And drawers.
And they use an interior for drawers.
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's stable. It's a very stable wood.
So it doesn't, like, they don't stick later? Is that what you're getting at? Like,
well, it doesn't expand and contract as much. And so it's a more stable wood and it's a harder wood.
Interesting. I totally I can see that now. Like, what are unstable woods?
Pine.
Like pine.
Softer stuff.
Softer. Soft. Gotcha.
Cherry's beautiful, but it's soft.
Yeah.
Really? See, I thought cherry was a harder.
It is considered a hard wood, but it's on the softer side.
There's a whole scale.
Yeah. Wow. He gets so proud. Look at his eyes.
He lit up there. He lit up.
Wood.
When we come back, maybe we'll talk about the quality of wood. This is Measure Twice. Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors and Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential. And you're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk 95.3 MNC. We're brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops with a showroom now open in Granger right next to C. Kramer Interiors and Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. We were talking about wood and quality is what we're talking about and the different uses of it. But it really goes right into if you were to think, if you're remodeling a room, not a bathroom, but like a kitchen or something, and you had to say, look, we got to make some quality decisions here, right? Where would you want the most quality? I get you want everything at the highest quality, but let's pretend that you had to scale it. Where would you focus? Where would you put the most quality? Where would you look for the most quality?
In a kitchen?
In a kitchen.
Cabinetry.
Mm-hmm.
First.
Why is that?
The way it's going to hold up, because that's the thing that you're using the most, so a quality cabinet's going to hold up to doors and drawers being opened and closed a lot.
Finishes that don't
chip
and flake and rub off over time.
Door fronts that aren't getting dinged up.
Or warped.
Yeah.
Hinges that actually don't loosen and, you try to close your cabinets and they're off kilter.
There's nothing worse than the press board hinge screwed into a press board.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's ticking before that thing is going to come right off in your hand, and it'll do it when you don't want it to.
Exactly.
Which is a shame. I know they're a lot less expensive, but you get zero longevity out of cabinets that are press board.
Right.
Those are garbage.
It doesn't work. I get it if that's what you can afford, but that's what you're trading.
Yeah.
You're trading that longevity. Mm-hmm. But I get it. Cabinets are and they're also the thing you see the most.
Right.
Like
it's the furniture of the kitchen.
Yeah. I like that. It's the furniture. I'm the furniture of this show.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know that. That's Joel. I'm just kidding. But in a kitchen, though, you have a lot of quality decisions to make. I think.
Yes.
In a bathroom, too. But we'll talk about the bathroom next segment. This segment, in a kitchen, the quality starts with the cabinet. And then is it flooring? Is it countertop?
Plumbing fixtures, probably.
Plumbing fixtures. I was thinking fixtures, countertops.
Because you're going usage. I can, because there's a lot of use going on in a kitchen.
And appliances.
Yeah. It's tough.
There's a whole lot. That's a whole other category into itself.
Right. Yeah.
Into itself, I should say.
And appliances, you know, you can basically get on a rocket ship and spend as much as you like on it or as little, but.
I just saw something where they have, was it induction? Where they, in an island, they put the heating elements in the island under the countertop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's happening.
Whoa. I was like, mind blown.
Yeah. I think I've seen that. I've been in a home with that.
And you turn it off and it's cooled instantly.
Or pretty quickly.
Or pretty quickly.
That's the heat transfer of the material is very rapid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would have to be because.
I mean, it was just
I
like.
I have no fingerprints. I would just burn them off.
Yes.
Because you really can't see them.
No. They were cannot completely tell hidden.
And everything is like, are we going? Is that a thing where we're going to hidden everything?
I don't think so. I don't think you'll ever see a standing range or a cooktop disappear because it's still to be more efficient and easier than.
And there are plenty of them that can be very good looking.
Yeah.
Too, so.
Right. And I'm thinking, what happens if it breaks?
Yeah.
Because it's under your countertop.
I don't like that idea at all.
Uh-uh.
That's like somebody like my sister who's making tea. You know, nothing's really ever getting cooked on it. Mm. Yeah. If it breaks. And there's, for the appliances, there's still a little bit of status involved with the appliances too. And let's be real. Let's, you know, There's part of it is showing off what you've got a little.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. And there's a little bit of status. Is all I'm saying. You know, like the aesthetic of something that looks cool and is high quality, I think exists.
But there's also a certain expectation on what you expect to see, appliance wise, kitchen wise, in a certain level of home. So. If you walk into $1 million-plus home, well, I shouldn't say that anymore because it doesn't take much to get to a million.
Yeah.
Million and a half.
But if you get into the higher level of home, you expect to see Wolf, Sub-Zero, things of that nature.
And they have a version where they're kind of hidden, right?
You can panel.
Panel them, right.
But there's a certain expectation of what you expect in certain price points.
Right. And it doesn't work if you have $1 million home and an afterthought of a kitchen.
Right.
Like that doesn't work.
Yep.
And the kitchen's an easy target because it functions so much.
Yeah, right. You have to really, I mean, quality shows up there pretty quickly.
Yeah. That's kind of where I was going. Right. Like, you know, what's the highest quality countertop you can buy?
Oh my. Oh boy. Highest quality?
Highest quality.
I didn't say price.
I said quality.
What's
the ironclad longevity countertop?
I say granite.
Granite?
I'd probably be right in there. It has to be a solid surface of stone or,
stainless steel?
I mean, if you're going just for utility.
Then it's stainless steel, right?
Stainless steel.
That'd be far more expensive than.
Yeah. And it'd be, I mean, like, depending on the kitchen, it'd look really cool.
It would. We've talked about this a lot. Stainless steel will take over your aesthetic. I mean,
it's very industrial.
You have to be planning for that.
you have to.
I think I'm going to go with the stainless.
It's more of a commercial look.
Right. It's not really warm, right? It's not, you know, it's warm like a battleship is warm.
But it'll last forever. I mean, you'll never replace it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it goes in shiny, but it won't stay that way.
No, eventually it'll
scratches.
You can have it buffed.
Yeah, you're right. The I liken back to the restaurant, my restaurant's kitchen that had essentially the galley from a battleship,
there
which was all stainless steel. It was 85 years old. Mm-hmm. It was a World War I ship. And you looked at it and it was scratched, but they, Roger, the guy that helped us run the restaurant, buffed it every 6 months, like buffed it down. So it was really interesting looking because it really starts to sparkle instead of shine, you know, because of all the little minor like scratches in it. So it was cool, but I couldn't imagine walking into that and being like, oh, I'm home. You know, it's like, it doesn't feel
very just depends
home-like.
On what you do around it.
Yeah. Can you accent with stainless steel?
We do it every day. Your stainless steel appliances are your accent.
That's true. You're right. That's kind of where that shows up. I don't see stainless steel going away.
Ever. I don't know. Yeah. It's the standard.
Too durable.
And so now if you talk about that and you're looking, anybody who's shopped for a sink and you're looking at a stainless steel sink and you're like, this one's $150. This one's $450. This one's 9 inches deep and 36 by 24 or whatever. And this one's 9 inches deep or 11 inches deep. And what?
It's the gauge.
Yeah. What does that mean?
The thickness of the stainless.
Yeah. And it is super meaningful with price. I'm not sure how meaningful it is with quality.
It'll last longer.
How do you break
holds up
a
better.
Sink?
Well, it doesn't ding and dent.
Yeah, a heavier gauge is going to hold its shape, and it's kind of like using the type of wood that you use on your cabinet doors. A harder wood's going to hold up under use. It's not going to get dinged and scratched near as easily.
I read an article that it's quieter.
I would imagine so.
Mm-hmm. And I was like very skeptical. I'm reading this article, and they're like, "Oh yeah, stainless steel sink. It's got like 10% less decibels when you bump it." I'm like, what? That sounds like a sales pitch. And then no, I saw the science behind it. It's like, it's true. It doesn't vibrate.
Right.
It doesn't rattle. It doesn't. And the guy was using a dishwasher next to the low gauge stainless steel. And he's like, he put, like a monitor and he's like, oh, this is vibrating at this megahertz. And then he went with the other one. And he's like, look, it's vibrating at a different megahertz. Like,
right.
Outside of your range of hearing.
Right.
I'm like, what?
Yep.
Now, is that the best reason to buy a thick gauge sink? I don't know, but it was just like one of those things like, oh my goodness, it does matter. Like, it does make a difference.
There's a quality within the quality.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of funny how that works. When we come back, let's wrap it up with the burning quality question. This is Measure Twice. Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors and Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential, and you're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk, 95.3 MNC. We're brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply, everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with a showroom now open right in Granger next to C. Kramer Interiors, and Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. Interesting, it's in the AM. And what's my role for this show? What's my main purpose on this show?
It's bring coffee.
To bring coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
And I never get texted during the show, ever. But my wife texted me that I forgot my coffee. And I'm like, you forgot that I do a radio show. Because this is the only day I don't drink coffee at home. I bring it in here. Kind of funny, but that's my purpose. If anybody was wondering while they're listening what my actual purpose is, I just sit in awe of these two gentlemen and sip coffee in the morning. We were talking about quality. We were talking about sinks and the different gauges of stainless steel sinks. And that's when you're shopping for a sink, and sometimes you see identical sinks, but one is less expensive, one's more. It's the gauge. And the gauge is meaningful, and interestingly enough, they're technically a little quieter.
Yeah.
But I never thought about it having that hollow sound.
Right.
But Chris, what's the highest quality The article I read, the quietest sink that you can have is a stone sink. And we've seen them, like the stone.
Yeah.
Or ceramic. What are they, ceramic? Or are they stone?
Are you talking about the composite sinks that are made of, the ones that are made of granite?
Yeah, they
fresh granite.
Yeah, they feel like stone. I don't know how, like, he was referring to them as stone, but
yeah,
I think
it's kind of like a quartz countertop. It's ground quartz with resin.
And they're not your favorite, are they?
No.
He's like, no.
I don't think that those are even that good of sinks. Honestly.
I don't either.
They don't hold up that great.
They what happens to them?
Because it's mostly a resin or epoxy or whatever, and it just over time they
change color.
Yeah,
they fade.
They're going to get more brittle.
They're more. It's more coarse. It's almost the ones I've seen, especially the black ones. Over time, the lime buildup from your water
discolors it, right?
The bottom. I mean, it discolors it to the point you can't clean it.
Right. Stainless steel doesn't hold any of that.
No.
Mm-mm. Or
it's easier to clean. You can get it out of stainless.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, stainless you can bring down to only metal. Like, you wash everything off of a stainless sink.
I mean, they have their place, and people do like them. Just my personal experience with them is the longevity isn't there.
Especially a high use, like a kitchen sink. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're in a basin in a powder room.
I'd rather have a cast iron sink than the stone.
A cast iron sink.
They're covered with the porcelain.
Okay, I was like, I was thinking frying pan. I was like, interesting.
No, they're heavy, but they have the porcelain coating.
Right, but does the porcelain hold up? Not, it doesn't hold up like stainless steel.
Depends on the brand.
Again, there's the quality within that.
Right.
I see. And do you use dollars and cents to figure out the quality?
No. Not necessarily. You need to ask questions. Like, for example, a lot of people are concerned with porcelain sinks because is it going to stain? Is it going to chip? If I drop a pan, is it going to chip the porcelain? Some will, some won't. So if you don't know what you're getting,
right?
You need to talk to the person that you're dealing with when you're making those selections to find out how it's going to hold up. Because if this one chips and this one doesn't, and this one's $300 more, I'd rather spend $300 more knowing that I'm not going to have issues down the road.
If you chip it, Joel, what do?
You replace it.
Yeah, nothing.
There's no way to fill it or...
I mean, there's people that will coat them, but that still doesn't... That doesn't hold up.
You still have a giant chip in it.
You're not doing porcelain again.
Right.
Right. I know what you're talking. Like, I'm thinking back to like my grandmother's sink.
That's probably porcelain.
Yeah, it was porcelain. Must have been high quality because that house was old.
Some of it will. I mean, over time, it can start to show stains, but you can bleach them out.
I want to say, does it wear away?
It can wear.
Okay, because I remember seeing black.
Yeah, it does.
Underneath. That must have been the cast iron showing up like around the base, like around where the drain was. Yep.
It's a very specific look. I mean, we don't do a lot of those. We don't spec a lot of those. Mainly what we spec are stainless sinks. But it is an option, and you can do different colors. And, you know, a lot of your apron sinks or farm sinks are porcelain.
Right. So you had mentioned something off air.
Copper.
A copper sink. Well, first of all, you know you've arrived when you have a copper sink.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
If you see scrappers in your kitchen, you know you've made it.
Looking through your window.
Yeah, they're like, look at that sink.
Waiting with bated breath.
Oh, my God. That's the fentanyl funny. You could buy with that sink.
Oh.
Is that bad?
Oh.
That's funny.
When are they going on vacation?
Yeah, seriously. I think, we have to cover the sink when we leave because, oh, my goodness. But so tell me about a copper sink, because I don't think I've seen them, but mainly I've seen them in powder room.
Or you see a lot of them as a bar sink, maybe, because it's smaller.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
I've seen that.
We've done a few larger apron type copper sinks, but the quality of a copper sink the pluses are they're antimicrobial, because copper just kills the bacteria.
Right.
Soap and water clean only. You don't use copper cleaners or anything of that nature, because you'll take the
patina?
The patina off, and you need that patina to protect the copper. So they're super easy to maintain.
Does it turn green on the inside?
No.
I don't. Why?
Green. We don't. That's in our climate, it's an oxidant. Yeah, and we don't have the. What I want to say, in this climate, we are in this area. Copper will not turn green unless you put chemical on it to.
Oh, really?
Advance its coloration.
Because where I'm from,
it will turn brown.
They turn green.
Yeah.
But it's salt water. Right. You've got salt air.
Right.
Here we don't have that, so it won't green naturally.
So if you're along the Atlantic coast, you probably are not going to get a copper sink.
You could. It's green. Still inside. I mean, why not?
What if it turns green? Then what?
Then you've got a protected sink. Then you probably are going, oh, I have to change my color scheme. I don't know.
I see. Well, copper is a reactive metal, right? So it's always reacting with the environment. Yeah. That's same with aluminum. Yeah.
It's like a living finish.
Right. See, that's why you never want to have heat. You don't eat anything out of copper that's above a certain temperature. I don't know the temperature. Consult your doctor on that. But you don't want to eat tomato with copper. Like, there's some things. Right. Oh, boy. Charlie's Angels is calling.
Yep.
That's what it makes me think of, the ring. Charlie's Angels. But copper, that has to be in a decadent financial decision.
Definitely a financial decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not saying it's wrong or right. It's cool. You can get it.
Yeah. If you can do that.
What are we talking on one of those things?
Ooh.
I'm not going to look it up while we're on the.
3,000-4,000
Yeah.
I wouldn't be allowed to get that. I don't even. that would be. You know,
it's extravagant.
Yeah. That's extravagant. It sounds cool.
And the thing is it's if you make that decision, you're probably planning around that.
Right.
Right.
You've already know that this is, it's a very specific want.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody would want it, but those that do know that this is going to be an investment.
What fixtures do you put around that? Do they all have to be copper then?
No. I've done oil rub bronze complements nicely.
So, because you have this giant stainless steel refrigerator.
You wouldn't necessarily do that.
Mm-mm.
That's what I'm saying. Like you can't go stainless steel if you go copper, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that sounds like a great show for next time, but now you know everything about quality. Well, you don't know everything, but you have a concept.
We just scratched the surface.
That's it. That's all you have is just a little tidbit. Thanks for listening. This has been Measure Twice.
Podcasts by Federated Media.